Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Eliana Sohn Cohen, and today we will be learning Sefer Ovadia. Sefer Ovadia is the shortest book in Tanakh, totaling one parak and 21 psukim. In more ways than one, the Navi Ovadia is an enigma. The Sefer doesn't mention his lineage, where he lived, or what time period he lived in. Before learning the Nevuah of Ovadia, which focuses on the misdeeds and demise of the nation of Edom, let's take a look at a few commentaries that talk about Ovadia's backstory. One opinion is that he is the same Ovadia that's mentioned in Melachim Aleph, who is the chief of staff for the infamous king and queen of Israel's northern kingdom, Ahav and Izebel. This would make him a contemporary of Eliyahu HaNavi. Ovadia is best known for being the person who hid 100 Nevi'im in caves while his employers, Ahav and Izebel, were out trying to track them down and kill them. It is said that Ovadia died penniless and in debt because of this great undertaking. Keep in mind that he did this during a time of drought and famine, so food cost more than it normally would. For this great deed, he is called a Yirei Hashem. The second opinion, which is detailed by the Ibn Ezra in particular, is that Ovadia was a contemporary of Yirmiyahu HaNavi during the First Temple period. This could easily explain the text's deep ties to Yirmiyahu's own Nevuah on Edom, which we will see when we look at the text. One of the reasons that Ibn Ezra is skeptical of Ovadia being the same Ovadia from Malachim is that if he were a Navi, of course he would be a Yirei Hashem. Why would the text in Malachim call him a Yirei Hashem? Other commentaries say, well, at the time perhaps he was not yet a Navi. Either which way, it's good to know the backstory of Ovadia from Malachim because it gives us a sense of character, a sense of this person. One more thing to think about before we go into the text is why we learn this Sefer. Why is it in Tanakh? The Nevuah is directed at Edom, not at Israel. So what is its significance? And what significance in particular does it hold for the Jewish destiny? Another enigma here is, who is Edom? Edom is first mentioned in Parshat Toldot as the progeny of Esav, but there are several other opinions regarding who Edom is. Oftentimes, the Roman Empire and Christian empires are considered Malchut Edom. The exile we are in right now is called Galut Edom, and this Galut was started by the Romans when they destroyed the Second Temple. However, the most basic and universally understood identity of Edom is Esav and his descendants. Whoever they were and whoever they are today, the lineage and legacy of Esav is defined by a deep-seated desire for vengeance, and even deeper than that, the pull between chosenness and rejection. As we saw in Parshat Toldot only a few weeks ago, Yaakov received the blessing from Yitzchak to inherit the blessings of Avraham and Yitzchak. He was chosen as the one to represent God and moral life in this world. It's understandable that Esav, though he received his own blessing, felt like he was rejected. And it seems that the bitterness that Esav held on to, given this lot in life, had been passed down to his descendants. And this is a characteristic we will see again in the text. So, let's get started. The first five psukim talk about the downfall of Edom, the prophecy of how Edom is going to come down from its high place. So we start with Chazon Ovadia. This is the vision of Ovadia. One more thing about Ovadia. Why was he chosen to be the messenger for the Edomites. There are a couple of opinions on that as well. Some say that he was a convert from Edom. And there's a parable given that just like an axe handle is made from wood and is then used to cut down other trees, in a sense, Ovadia was like that axe handle. In a more casual term, it takes one to know one. So he was able to speak to them in that way. Another opinion is that if this is the same Ovadia as the one from Malachim from the time of Achav and Izebel, then he is proof that despite living among two terrible people, he was still able to be righteous. Whereas Edom, who are descendants from Esav, lived among two righteous people. Esav lived among Yitzchak and Rivka, and yet he still managed to become an evil person. So, from this we see that Ovadia is the perfect messenger for the message that there are no excuses for being not a good person. Esav had every advantage to become the kind of person who could inherit that first blessing, and yet he did not choose that path. Okay, back to the text. Chazon Ovadia, this is the vision of Ovadia. Ko Amar Hashem Elokim LaEdom. This is what Hashem is saying to Edom. Shemua Shamanu Me'et Hashem V'tzir Bagoim Shaluach Kumu V'nakum Aleha L'melchama. We have heard tidings from God, and an ambassador is sent among the nations. Arise, and let us rise up against her in battle. Now I'm going to take a minute to turn back to Sefer Yirmiyahu, and this is Perek Memtet 49, and Pasuk Yodalid, to show you just how similar these two Nevuot are, the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu about Edom and the Nevuah of Ovadia about Edom. Shemua shamati me'et Hashem, betzir bagoyim shaluach, hitkabsu uvo'u aleha v'kumu l'milchama. That is essentially word for word the same thing. I really encourage you to take a look when you have the time at these two prakim, at Ovadia and at Yirmiyahu Memtet, and see the comparison for yourself. Hine katon netaticha bagoim, I'll make you small among the nations. Bazoi atama'od, you'll be very despised. You are very despised. Again, the text in Yirmiyahu is uncannily similar. Kine katon netaticha bagoim bazoi ba'adam. Zadon libcha hishiecha, the pride in your heart has deceived you. Shochnei bechagvei sela, you're sitting in the crevices of a rock. Miron shivto, from up high you are sitting. Omer bilibo, mi yorideni aretz, and saying in your heart, who will bring me back down to earth? Im tagbia kenesher, even if you are soaring like an eagle, v'im bein kochavim simkanecha, and even if you put your nest among the stars, listen to how poetic Ovadia is when he's describing the might and the status of Edom in the world. Misham oridcha, Noam Hashem, from there I will bring you down, says Hashem. So as you can see, this is describing the way that Edom will fall from being a great power and feeling that is a great power to being brought down into nothingness. God will do this. God will make sure that this is done to them. In the following psukim, it describes how they will be totally wiped out of all of their riches and wealth, as if a ganav, a robber, came in the middle of the night and took everything, every last ditch. Ovadia also uses the imagery of someone who comes to pick grapes, how he'll go into the vineyard And no matter how many he takes, there's the inevitable grape that rolls away and isn't seen. However, when Edom is brought down, it will be as if the grape picker took every last grape, not one to be found. And the nations will ask, how is that possible? Halo yashiru olelot. They didn't even leave some gleanings of grapes. That is how astounding the transformation will be. In Psukim 6 and 7, Vav and Zion, the downfall continues. How is this happening? Now, the people who looked like the allies of Edom are coming against them, are pushing them to their borders. Shlomecha lachmecha yasimu mazor tachtacha, ein tvunabo. Those who you broke bread with in peace, they will be ones who deceive you and prevail against you. Your cunning, your smarts, will not be there for you. The Edomites will not see any of this coming. Psukim 8 and 9, Chet and Tet, start talking about the final destruction of Edom, that is, during the times of Mashiach. Halo bayom hahu, this refers to the end of days. Noam Hashem, Hashem said, V'avarati chachamim me'Edom, I will even destroy the wise ones from Edom. Funa mehar Esav. And the understandings, or perhaps the values, of Har Esav. The next psukim, 10 through 14, Yud through Yudalit, will talk about the reasons for Edom's punishments. Why is Hashem destroying Edom? Mechamas achicha Yaakov, tachsecha busha v'nichrata le'olam. Because of the violence you did against your brother, Yaakov, you will be covered with shame and wiped out forever. Biyom amadcha mineged, on the day that you stood there apathetically. Biyom shvot zerim chelo, on the day that strangers took away his belongings, his being your brother, Yaakov. Edom, you just stood there. This is talking about the first temple's destruction, when Bavel came in and started pillaging and destroying the lives of the Jews. Edom, who are not only cousins to Israel, but also neighbors, did not intervene. Not only did they not intervene, Bo sharab va'al Yerushalayim yadu goral gam ata ke'echad mehem. You went to the gates of Jerusalem, and you helped with the goral, with the lottery that the enemies of Israel conducted to split the spoils of war, as if you were one of them. Again, this shows how Yaakov and Esav and their descendants are meant to act like brothers, not like everyone else. And yet, Edom does act like he is just another nation, that is against Israel. And here come more reasons. Va'al tira bayom achicha bayom nachro. And don't just look there on the day of your brother's estrangement, on his being taken from his homeland to exile. Va'al tismach livnei Yehuda bayom abdam. And don't be happy when the children of Yehuda are lost. Va'al tagdel picha bayom sara. And don't widen your mouth in a smile, per se, on their day of pain. Essentially, Ovadia is saying, don't revel in the pain of Bnei Yisrael. Why? Not only because this is a rather corrupt thing to do, but because Mida Keneged Mida will take place. Ki karov yom Hashem al kol hagoyim, because God's retribution, his day of judgment, essentially Mashiach, it's coming to all the nations. Ka'ashir asita ya'aseh lecha, just as you did will be done to you. Gemurcha yashuv beroshecha, The deeds you have done will be returned upon your own head. Ki kasher shetitem al har kachi, yishtu kol agoyim tamid, vishatu v'la'u v'hayu kolo hayu. Because just as you drank on my holy mountain, you drank to the happiness of someone else's demise, so too will the other nations drink continually for your demise. Even worse than that, they will drink and rejoice as if you never were. Uvahar tzion tia pleita v'yakodesh v'yushu beit Yaakov et marashehem. And Bnei Yisrael, the children of Yaakov, beit Yaakov, will return to their inheritance, to Eretz Yisrael. V'ya beit Yaakov ish uveit Yaakov, uveit Yosef lava, the house of Yaakov will be a fire, and the house of Yosef will be a flame. Uveit Esav lakesh, and the house of Esav will be like straw. V'dalku behem v'achlum, and that fire will eat the straw. V'lo yesarid lebeit Esav, and there will be nothing remaining of the house of Esav, ki Hashem diber, because that is what Hashem says. The next couple of psukim go on and describe all the different areas of the land of Israel that will have been captive, how they will be brought back to the Jews, how the Jews will have sovereignty over them once again, forever. And the last line, which you may recognize from the very, very end of Az Yashir from Shacharit, V'lo moshiim b'har tzion l'shpot et har Esav v'yitza l'Hashem hamlucha, and the Moshiim, whether this be the prophets or the princes of Israel, the saviors of Israel, essentially, they will be back on Har Tzion to do justice, to mete out justice on Har Esav, and the kingdom shall be God's. One quick thought before we end, to be a takeaway from a sefer that seems like it's not really about us, or not directed to us on the outset. When Ovadia talks about the fire of Yaakov and the flame of Yosef, Yaakov being the southern kingdom of Israel, and Yosef being the north, what does this parable of fire and straw being Esav, come to teach us? Esh, fire, is something we see as a symbol for the Jewish people in other places in Tanakh, one of my favorites being in Parshat Tzav, Esh tamid tukad al mizbeach lo tichbe. A fire is always kindled on the mizbeach, it will not go out. There's a beautiful interpretation of this that I first heard in a shir by Reb Tzin Shira Smiles, and that is how the fire is the Jewish spirit, and the kindling is what we do day to day to help that fire live and go on continuously. Rav Hirsch says that this fire on the Mizbeach is a symbol of hatmadav, consistency, in living Torah values, or at least striving to do so, day to day, year to year, generation to generation, with commitment, integrity, and responsibility. As Jews, we have gone through so much, and yet that consistency, that fire within us, has always been there. There has been no looking for excuses, and unfortunately, what Esav shows is the other side of straw, where one's values are not tied to integrity and responsibility, but rather to nothing really at all, nothing sustaining. And that is how he and everything that he and his descendants stand for, anger, revenge, hedonism, can't stand the test of time. And that is how, when the time comes, the enemies of the Jews will fall, and ultimately the Jews will get to experience Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Svi Yosef.